It's good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sussmat on Sports360AZ.com on AZ Central Sports. Great to be part of AZ Central Sports on White Mountain Radio across the eastern part of the state in the White Mountains. Good to be on White Mountain Radio. And, of course, on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. There's so much going on today, and the guest list is tremendous. We have Kurt Warner joining us in about 10 minutes. We'll talk with Kurt about his big Kurt Warner Ultimate Football Experience Saturday in Tempe. We'll talk with Kurt about Johnny Manziel. We'll talk with Kurt about the Cardinals. We'll talk to Kurt about all things NFL and what's going on with his little basketball. Kurt has a basketball league, Eric. Did you know that? Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of everything.
I did not. I know he likes to play, but I did not know he was in a league or coaching a league.
Kyle Dodd goes to his house and plays.
Oh,
it's like pickup
one of those.
League. It's a pickup league, yeah. I'd tear my ACL if I went over there again, so I'm not going
to
do that.
It'd be fun to watch that, though.
You know, take the show over there. Take a camera over there and go do that. So Kurt Warner, all things NFL with Kurt coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Matt McConnell, TV voice of the Coyotes. Today is the NHL trade deadline. The Coyotes actually did something right last night. They won a game. And are they going to do anything here before the day is through? Matt McConnell will be with us, voice of the Coyotes. And Rick Gosling is going to jump on board with us. Rick Gosling is one of the deans of the National Football League. Rick Gosling is so big that NFL teams contact him. Rick has his own scouting department that he does for special teams. I'm not kidding. And NFL franchises, general managers call him about his special teams rankings. It's not just special teams, though. You know, Rick's plugged in with the Dallas Cowboys. He's a columnist for the Dallas Morning News. So the Cowboys did stuff yesterday with Tony Romo. I want to know Rick Gosling's favorite Jerry Jones moment and just what a train wreck the Cowboys are. And what are the views of the Cardinals in the NFC West? So we'll talk with Rick Gosling as well on today's show. A lot happening in the world of sports. Let's get you off and running. Eric, now with our Facebook question of the day.
Tough night last night for the Suns, Brad. They dropped a back-and-forth game to the Clippers. So the Suns are now, believe it or not, just a half game ahead of Memphis for the eighth and final playoff spot in the West.
They're not going to make it.
They have lost four of their last six today. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Yes or no? You just answered the question. The Suns will make the playoffs this season. Yeah. I'm going to say yes.
Wow.
Simply because, as Chris Sheridan so astutely pointed out to you yesterday, the Suns are going to be playing a bunch of East Coast teams.
Right.
And the East is not good. So they're going to have a chance to string together a bunch of wins. And if and when they get Eric Bledsoe back,
yeah,
you know, play along with the asterisks here. I think they're going to hold on.
So you used two words there, if and maybe.
Oh, yeah. It's a definite. I'm absolutely positively uncertain of my answer.
If
so.
And maybe. Ifs and maybes in life,
it's
right?
It's a nice day. I'm actually going to take the positive side on this. Usually I'm the negative guy on Facebook.
No, you're not being negative. You're being realistic. So
Memphis is a veteran team. They've got. Yeah. They know how to make the playoffs. The Suns are a younger team that really doesn't know how to make the playoffs, but I'm just going to think positive and think they hold on.
All right. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ. I like the question. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Well,
like the page, share the input. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the White Mountains. We're into March. Guess what that means? They're having March Madness at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of the White Mountains, or in the White Mountains, just outside of the Sunrise Ski Resort. That's right by the Sunrise Ski Resort. The March Madness promotion. It's the tournament that's coming up. You're going to want to get all the details at the Honda Resort and Casino. And while you're there, stop on in, whether it's morning, noon, or night. Pull down on those slots. Eat some great food. Have some fun at the Honda Resort and Casino, or maybe just stay there this weekend. The Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Great place for wherever you are around the state taking us in today. Check out the Honda Resort and Casino. We encourage you to stay there. All right. So the Suns last night, I'm actually in the middle of the day. I'm kind of excited that Tiger Woods is going to play at Doral. He's going to be paired up tomorrow with Henrik Stenson. I'm excited for that. And Adam Scott, that's a threesome that you're going to want to see tomorrow. That's very cool. I have my Tiger Woods shirt that I'm rocking today here on the show if you're watching on the stream. And hopefully his back will carry him through. Locally, because we are Arizona-centric, the Suns lose Leandro Barbosa with a fractured left hand. He's out a month. So you lose Barbosa. Dragic is having to carry this team essentially on his back, and Bledsoe is not back yet. And everybody's doing the Eric Bledsoe watch, dun-dun-dun. Eric Bledsoe comes back. All things will be solved. Well, as Eric astutely pointed out, there's a lot of bad teams over in the Western Conference. And so when you have a lot of bad teams, like the Suns have, to play, you can make up some ground in a hurry. The problem is you've got to play some defense. Like, I think that this skid that they're on is going to be extended tomorrow night because Oklahoma City is now rolling into town. What was the quote that I read from Eric Spoelstra, the head coach of the Heat? That we need to start imposing our will. It's that time of year. Yeah, it's that time of year. Meaning, okay, guys, the vacation is over. You're no longer going on the all-expense-paid private jet trip that's taking you from Portland to Golden State to Sacramento because nobody cares about those games. Let's take about the next 6 weeks serious. Let's get ourselves into shape. Let's get our minutes down, and let's go make a postseason run. This is what the NBA has become, where it's really worth watching for about the last 3 months. And so when they run into Kevin Durant tomorrow night, I don't think it's going to be pretty. Russell Westbrook last night had a triple-double in 20 minutes. Think about that. In 20 minutes, second fewest in NBA history. You have to go all the way back to 1955. A triple-double in 20 minutes. That's just crazy. Unless he had like one shot and he missed five attempts on that one shot and got five rebounds and then passed it off. I don't know. So they've got Oklahoma City coming in tomorrow night, which will be a lot of fun. Here's Jeff Hornacek after the game last night. While he didn't want to crush his defense, it's clearly a problem.
I thought we played pretty good defense for three of the quarters, and just one quarter killed us. So at least it's better than the last five games, because I'm not sure we had many quarters that were good defensively. But, you know, we battled. We just did some things there. When team gets rolling, you know, that's when you got to buckle down a little bit more.
Matt Barnes had 16 points in that third quarter. When Matt Barnes is leading the way in scoring, you're going to lose. He had 28. Blake Griffin scored 20 points last night. It's pretty cool about Blake Griffin. For his detractors, 20 points in a game for 20 straight games now. He scored 20 points. That's getting it done. And again, Suns host the Thunder tomorrow night. Eric and I both stayed up late last night to watch Arizona State. By the way, Kurt Warner in about 5 minutes. We stayed up late to watch ASU. I'm going to go on a bit of a rant here, and I'll save some of it for later. If you want me to crush ASU basketball today, I'm not going to do it. This is going to come across as an apologist. I think if you've watched or heard this show long enough, I don't sit here and script it out as a lot of guys do. I just see and react. Think about it a little bit, and then I react. I'm watching the game last night, and ASU looked tired. And ASU didn't look good. The game with Oregon didn't look good. There wasn't an atmosphere. It was a boring game to watch last night. It was like watching pigs mate, okay? A great coach used that line on me once, except he didn't use the word mate. It was like watching pigs mate. It was not pretty. Oregon was up 15 to nothing. So ASU decided to fall back to sleep, but I'm not going to sit here and hammer on them today. The Pac-12 wants to sell its soul to the devil to put its games on Sunday nights on ESPNU and Tuesday nights on Fox Sports 1 because their Pac-12 network isn't getting the exposure that it needs to get. So you're going to take these kids and just grind them. So let me get this straight. You played your game Saturday. You hopped on a plane Monday, so the kids had to miss school Tuesday, and now they're stuck in Oregon until they play Oregon State again this weekend. So they got to do study hall. They got to do this. They got to do that. There's all this stuff around ASU that I'm going to get to a little bit later. On the other side, Kurt Warner, all things NFL. Kurt Warner has his big Kurt Warner weekend coming up. Kurt Warner always does his ultimate football experience Saturday in Tempe. Who's rolling in? And things around the NFL with Kurt Warner. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Busy Wednesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ on AZ Central Sports. Appreciate the partnership with the Arizona Republic. They carry the show day in and day out. White Mountain Radio across the state, up through the White Mountains. And, of course, on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. In about 30 minutes, Rick Gosling is going to be with us, Dallas Morning News Insider. I was going to catch up with guys much smarter than I'll ever be. And Goose is one of those around the NFL. Matt McConnell, voice of the Coyotes, in a couple of minutes. Today's the NHL trade deadline. Now, speaking of guys much smarter than I'll ever be, Kurt Warner, Cardinals legendary quarterback, NFL Network analyst. I bring that up because you figured out how to have a basketball league in your backyard. Kyle Dodd has told me about this on occasion. You also have your ultimate football experience, which is this Saturday in Tempe, which means you have lots of cool guys rolling into town. It's all good, right?
It's all good. Life is good. Retirement's been good. It's great to be able to establish something during your career like our foundation and still have continual support really wherever we go. You know, we do a lot of programs in Iowa, back in St. Louis, here in Arizona, and we just get tremendous support from so many different people. And so it's so great to be able to continue the vision that we had and the work that we started when I was playing, and to be able to do it now nearly 5 years after I've retired.
I have to wonder on this, Kurt, has the NFL ever thought about bringing you in to do the symposium on this is how you script, not that you can script everything out, you know that as a man of faith, but this is how you script post-NFL? Because in your voice, you got tired of hearing that, are you coming back to the NFL? And you've got so many things going on that I think you and Brenda are pretty well set in things for the next several years. You've got the post-NFL life figured out. A lot of guys can't do that.
Yeah, you know, I can't say that I've been asked to do that. I would welcome that. I've talked to a lot of young kids. I mean, even some kids that are coming out in the draft this year that I've met with. And that's one of the questions that that they ask is just, you know, preparing and being in television now and preparing for those kinds of things. You know, what was my mindset and how did I go about doing it? And I think it's so important. It's so important to have a vision that goes beyond just what we're in the midst of, mm-hmm. and especially when you're a professional sports, you know, man, a professional football player or whatever you might do. We know it's so short-lived, and, you know, things can change in an instant. And so to be able to have a focus on what you want to do, what you want to be, how to become more well-rounded and balanced. So, you know, regardless of whether it's retirement or an injury or being cut, you've got a chance to continue on and to do great things in another area. And that was something that I became very conscious of probably even before I got to the NFL because of, you know, the route that it took me and not knowing if I would ever be there. But once I got here, to really take advantage of a number of different opportunities so that I was prepared for that next step. And I think that's what made retirement so much easier. I think that's why you see a lot of guys have issues or want to come back is because they really don't have a plan for what's next. And they're not really prepared for that. And I think that's such a huge key, you know, for athletes is to be able to find something else to fit that void that's left from playing football.
I call them lost souls. And I don't mean that in a negative sort of way, but I've sat in this studio with guys that have played the game and they're trying to figure out if they want to go put their money in a restaurant. I've seen too many guys do that and it goes out of business. They want to try the broadcast thing and then they figure out it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Their marriage is over with. Their relationships are broken. They want to try to get reconnected with their kids. Their money is gone. And part of me gets mad at the players' union side of it. Part of me gets mad at the agents. Part of me gets mad because I see it. You're much closer to that situation. I don't think I'm overstating this.
No. But I do think there are a lot of things that the NFL does and a lot of opportunities that it presents to players, you know, during the course of their career that most just don't take advantage of. You know, you talk about broadcasting. I know they have a broadcasting boot camp that can really get you up to speed to what it entails and how to prepare ahead of time. They have, you know, chances to continue your education and go back to business schools and seminars and networks. I mean, there's so many different things that the NFL has for you if you just take advantage of it. But, again, it's one of those things, and you have to imagine that you've, you know, sunk 30 years of your life, your entire life into doing one thing and becoming really, really good at one thing. And the unfortunate thing is that that comes to an end. You know, in our sport, you don't play that long. And so, you know, it's really difficult for guys when they're so focused on that one thing to really be able to think outside the box. And, you know, could the NFL do more? Sure. But I think players have to take that responsibility. And people around them, like you said, agencies or advisors, to really step up and go, hey, you know, let's start thinking about this now. Let's start taking care of this now. And, you know, one of the things that, as an athlete, you have a huge ego. We all have big egos.
Sure.
And one thing that I always tell guys is that, you know, when you know, you're going about your business and you're playing, there's always somebody there to kind of stroke that ego, to pat you on the back, yep. to lift you up. And, you know, and we all enjoy that, and we all like that, and it's a part of our natures to have people lift us up. Now, let's say you retire, and you don't really have anything that's doing that. And, you know, I think you get into real life and the struggles of real life and, you know, the issues within all marriages, and you don't have that thing to kind of lift you up. And I think that's why we see a lot of marriages break down. We see a lot of guys spending their money because they're trying to find that thing that can make them really feel good about themselves like when they were playing. Yeah. And for me, you know, the key was to jump into new things and to challenge myself in new ways and you know, to really go, hey, you know, yeah, you were good at that, but that's over. You know, forget about that now. What can you be good at next? You know, what's the next challenge in life? And to really sink yourself into it. And, you know, and it's similar to that challenge of playing football, although different from a physical nature, still from a mental standpoint, I'm pushing myself every day to get really good at what I do and to challenge myself. And I think we need that as athletes and probably all of us as individuals. We need something to challenge us and really define us, you know, throughout the course of our life when one thing stops and something else, you know, steps in.
No, I totally get where you're coming from. Kurt Warner with us, the annual Ultimate Football Experience. Here's my problem with this event, though, on Saturday is I'm worried you're getting to the point where I'm going to see you over on the ground like somebody shot an arrow through your hamstring. Are you in shape for this?
Well, I mean, the thing is, all I got to do is throw a football. You know, so that's the great thing. I'm not going to be running around and tackling anybody or chasing anybody down. So I'm definitely in good enough shape to throw the football around. But, yeah, I feel great. Physically, I mean, I feel like I could go back out and play. I mean,
oh, no. Don't bring that up. Here it comes. Kurt Warner says on interview he feels good enough to go back out and play.
That doesn't mean I'm going to go back and play, but I feel good enough. Yeah. I mean, I'm in really good shape. You talked about the basketball that I play. I play basketball 2-3 times a week. I'm about my playing weight, but I'm lean and I feel good. And I'm, you know, so I'm not worried about that part of it. I'm making sure that, you know, what I did when I was playing as far as staying in shape and lifting weights and staying fit is a part of my afterlife as well. And so I can chase my kids around and do different events and still compete on the basketball floor to help fit that that little hole that you lose when you stop competing at the NFL level.
Who's going to be there Saturday for you?
Man, we got a great group. You know, we got some older guys. Drew Bledsoe's coming. Brian Urlacher's coming. Matt Hasselbeck's going to be there.
Cool.
Michael Irvin Fitz is going to come as usual. We got some young guys, and RG3's coming. Geno Smith is coming. Christian Ponder's going to be there. So we really have a great group of guys that are going to be out there, not just great players that have done some great things, but also some great individuals. So it's going to be a fun day, as you know. It'll be competitive as always, but we'll have a good time and we'll raise some great money for our foundation, and we'll continue to try to impact people's lives.
Yeah, you see those kids there, and that's what it's all about on my end. When I see the kids out there having a good time and watching you guys in all the events, you have this event, you have the Special Olympics. I mean, you just do a lot of things. So Let me switch gears on a couple of things. John Lott gets let go by the Cardinals. This was not a surprise. I know John well, and he'll be fine. But John Lott did a lot for you, in my view, when you came here. I use the term when Kurt was on the scrap heap coming from the Giants, John Lott did some work for you and helped your body out. Would you agree with that?
No question that John, you know, helped me out. I don't like to think I was on the scrap heap. I like to think that I could still play. But
well, you know what you know, I mean.
But the great thing about John is that he really worked with me and helped me find the right mix of stuff as I got older. You know, whether it was, you know, getting leaner, whether it was doing the right lifts, whether it was, you know, being able to curtail some things. You know, because you get a little bit older, and you know, I wasn't into running 300-yard sprints, and I wasn't into trying to bench as much as possible. So he just does a great job of being able to work with different guys, understanding what I needed at that point in time in my career to be successful and to be able to have that longevity and play at that high level. And so everything from, you know, from dropping my weight a little bit to focusing on certain kinds of lifts, certain core lifts that I hadn't done in a while, you know, like squats and stuff that he felt were very important regardless of where I was. And so, you know, we developed a tremendous relationship. He's a great individual. It's unfortunate he got let go with Arizona, but we all know sometimes it's time to move on and get a change of scenery. And John's going to be in great shape. He's got so many things that he can do, and he's got so much knowledge of that business that he's definitely going to land on his feet. But he did. He meant a lot to me, both on and off the field through my time with Arizona.
If you had to pick a quarterback today off the combine, which one?
That's a great question. And it's a hard question for me to answer because I think they all have some strengths, but I think they all have some weaknesses too. And so I'm not sure which one is going to be the superstar. You know, I love Johnny Manziel's competitiveness. To me, that's something that is very, very hard to teach, is that competitiveness. And we got to remember that he's only been in college for 2 years. And so there's a lot of things that I see that he has to work on inside the pocket. And I don't know if he's going to get there or not. And so that's my big question with Johnny, although I love his competitiveness. I think maybe the guy that looked the best on film, pocket presence and understanding defenses, was Teddy Bridgewater. And so I would probably lean in that direction, although, you know, I could make a great argument for Johnny Manziel, just because, like a Russell Wilson, he's got a competitiveness and an attitude of winning that I think you want to have at that position. I just think he's so young that we don't really know what he's going to be yet, and thus it's kind of hard to jump at that, you know, with one of those top picks.
So when you're there at the combine, we see you on television. What we don't see is you behind the scenes. Did you have a moment at the combine with any of these quarterbacks or any player? You got back on the plane, you're flying back, and you're saying, dang, that guy really impressed me.
You know, I talked to a number of the quarterbacks. That's one thing I tried to do, is when they have a second, to just grab them and say hello and extend my number to them and, you know, anything that I can do to help them. And so I got a chance to talk to a number of them, and I liked a lot of them. You know, I got a chance to talk to Johnny Manziel, and, you know, was impressive in that short time. And I also got to do a show for the NFL that will be coming out in a little while called Game Changers, where we sit down and work with a couple of these young guys. And I worked with Taj Boyd, Teddy Bridgewater, and David Fales. You know, and that to me was great, you know, to be able to kind of get to know them a little bit better and who they are and their attitudes towards life and their perspective going into this thing. And all three of those kids were very, very impressive, you know, in different ways. And so I think that's the fun thing, is that what NFL teams get to do at the combine is they get to sit down with these guys and really get to feel the pulse of who these guys are. And I think that's so important. We look at the combine and we watch this guy throw or that guy throw, and you know, who's got a big arm and who. But so much of it is who you are as a person and how that's going to translate to the NFL. And so, you know, a lot of these kids I really liked and was really impressed with from that standpoint. Now it's, how does the physical part, how does that mental side, how does all that come together and translate at the NFL level? And that's why it's so hard to pick quarterbacks, because we don't know.
Right.
You know, but I think there are a lot of great kids in this class. It's just a matter of, will any of that translate and grow into a great quarterback? I'm not sure at this point in time.
You're not on the scrap heap, by the way. I didn't mean that in a negative way.
It's all right. I understand.
You know, what you mean. You know, oh, all right. As long as we're fine with that. So I'll never invite myself over to your basketball games, because I've had 5 knee surgeries, and you don't want somebody on the ground grabbing their knees.
Yes.
You don't need a big stiff like me out there. I am curious, before I let you go, so who plays in these games? Kyle Dodds told me about him. He just says, I go play occasionally. I don't know if he's bragging or what, but.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just kind of a collection of guys that.
Anybody I'd know?
Probably not, but we have a lot of really good players.
Yeah.
A lot of guys that have played in Europe and like Kyle that played in college.
He's a wannabe. He's not on the scrappy.
Hey, I don't know. I didn't get to see him play in college, but knowing how quick he is now,
yeah, I know.
I can't imagine how quick he was in college. And you know, it's amazing to me that I think he always tells me he only averaged like 2 points a game because he never shot. But he is so explosive to the hoop. But I try to keep some younger guys that are really good to kind of keep me in shape and push me a little bit. So I'm definitely the old man of the group, but we have fun and it keeps me competitive.
Appreciate your time as always, and good luck this weekend and future endeavors coming up. Stay
great.
Well, thanks.
Appreciate it, Red.
There's Kurt Warner off the scrap heap for a couple of minutes. I'm on the scrap heap every day there. I can throw myself under there. That was fine. Matt McConnell, TV voice of the Coyotes. So Kurt's event, that's a cool deal, the ultimate football experience. He and Brenda do so many cool things that if I sat here, it'd be like I'm in this love fest with Kurt Warner on these things, and why not? Matt McConnell, TV voice of the Coyotes. Today's the trade deadline. And then Rick Gosling, longtime Dallas Morning News NFL insider. A lot around the NFL with Goose to get to, including his best Jerry Jones story in the direction of the Cowboys after they reworked Romo's deal yesterday. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
React and interact to our Facebook question of the day. Like our page at facebook.com/sports360az.
There's some question over the last day or two based on our recent play. Are we sellers? Are we, you know, going to get rid of people?
Well,
we still believe in this group. We'd like to add to this group. Until we're out of the playoffs, we're going to continue to see if we can get there.
Today's the NHL trade deadline. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ. Of course, AZ Central Sports on Twitter at Brad Sussmat and White Mountain Radio across the great state. Matt McConnell joins us now, television voice of the Phoenix Coyotes. You can follow him at Matty, M-A-T-T-Y, Coyotes TV on Twitter. So here we are in the middle of the day. Do you anticipate anything coming down the pike before we hit the deadline this afternoon, Matt, around the Coyotes?
Well, I think there's, you know, it was funny. I asked Don last night when we interviewed him between periods. I said, a guy told me one time, I'm always interested in being interested. Is that kind of your take going into tomorrow? And, you know, he pretty much confirmed that they're going to listen. I think they would like to maybe flip that second round pick that they got in the deal for David Runblad and Matthew Breezeblad of Chicago yesterday. So, yeah, I think they're listening. I think, you know, in an ideal situation, they'd like to maybe add another forward, maybe add a blue liner. Hard to say. It's been a little bit slow. Trade deadlines typically, Brad, I think, run the course where, you know, certain dominoes have to fall, and then I think pricing gets slotted accordingly. So I think we're really kind of getting into the meat of it right now with 2.5 hours to go, and it should be interesting. But I do think they, if the deal makes sense, I do think they would like to maybe add another player or two.
Matt McConnell with us. Matty, Coyotes TV, TV voice of the Coyotes, with us for a couple of minutes with Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, and on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter as well. Goalies are the order of the day. I have not seen Brodeur being traded as of yet. The reports are that he had asked to be traded. When you have a player of that magnitude that's out there, what do you anticipate happening with Brodeur?
Well, you know, that's interesting. I don't, you know, I guess you talked with his general manager, Lou Lamoriello, and Lou wants to accommodate him if that's possible, but I don't know. I don't know what Marty's got left. I don't think Marty can go anywhere and be a number one, not that there's a market for that right now, but, you know, he might be a good fit as an insurance player behind Marc-Andre Fleury in Pittsburgh. You know, might be an upgrade there for a team like the Penguins. But I think I'm a little more curious to see if Jaro Halak gets moved. He was acquired in that big Ryan Miller deal by the Buffalo Sabres. Now, mm-hmm. Does Buffalo want to try to maybe turn him and move him? Does Marty Brodeur maybe end up as a mentor with the Washington Capitals? There's been some speculation on that front for, you know, to be a mentor for a guy like Braden Holtby. So I think it's going to be interesting. And again, I think we're probably going to see some additional deals being made here in the last 2.5 hours. I just don't know what Marty Brodeur has left. I think he's probably got a certain amount left, but certainly only in a backup role.
When Luongo gets traded, you mentioned the Ryan Miller deal. So goalies are the order. Usually on trade days, what I've found through the years, in my background, being over in Southern California around the Kings and then here, is when goalies get traded, that makes big, big, big news, unless the superstars get shipped around. And I think for the average fan that's checking it out, Luongo getting traded, what was your view on that?
Well, first of all, Vancouver gets out of a contract, and, you know, we were talking to some of the Vancouver media last night, and, you know, they were saying, couldn't this have gotten done prior to the Corey Schneider deal on draft day last summer? But the Vancouver Canucks get out of a long, lengthy contract
And they pick up Jacob Markstrom in return, a guy that's been in San Antonio that really hasn't been given an extended opportunity at the NHL level. And they've also got Eddie Lack. But at the same time, Brad, Vancouver now has two goaltenders that have approximately 60 games of NHL experience between the two. I think for Florida, Roberto Luongo gets to go home. His offseason home is in South Florida. He's familiar with that organization. I think Roberto Luongo is a name and a player that they could probably still build around. You wonder what's going to happen with a guy like Tim Thomas. So I think it's a good deal for Vancouver. I think it's a decent deal for the Florida Panthers. Maybe star for a little bit of attention in South Florida. That one's going to be an interesting to watch.
Yeah, it's interesting, Matt, as we're sitting here on deadline day waiting for deals to come down. We're talking with Matt McConnell, the TV voice of the Coyotes, with Brad Sesmat. Here are the Coyotes. They're in a cluster of teams. There's probably, five teams that are all sitting there banging away for the final playoff spot. Is that fair to say from your view?
Yeah, it really is boiling down to four or five teams most likely battling for that final playoff spot. The Kings were leaking a little bit of oil prior to the deadline. They've ripped off four or five in a row. The Winnipeg Jets, although they got bad news today, Mark Scheifele is going to be down 6 to 8 weeks with an ACL. So that's a huge blow in Winnipeg. But yeah, it's really about five teams battling for that final wild card spot. The Coyotes are right in the middle of the pack in terms of strength of schedule down the road over their last 19 games, but. You know, it's funny. Trades can affect the locker room. They can change the dynamic. They can give teams momentum. I think, what they get in Martin Erat is they get a top 6-4 that they can play on either the left or the right side with Martin Hanzel and Radim Berbata. So I think it helps them. I think the trade helped them from the standpoint that they didn't have to give up a roster player. They gave up a defenseman that was buried down in Portland. They gave up a prospect as well. And if they can move that second-round pick they got from Chicago yesterday in the David Rundblad deal, then I think that really, you got to look at it as a real positive deadline scenario for the Coyotes. But again, that's a big wait and see here over the next couple of hours.
Well, and I bring up the positioning, Matt, from the standpoint of if three teams do things that are in that mix for that final one, or one team or two teams, are the Coyotes in a spot to be reactionary? Organizations will always say, we're not going to react to what other teams do. But look, if you're one of four or five chasing the final spot and some things happen in the next couple of hours, how can you not react, I guess, is my point, because we haven't seen any sense of consistency out of this team on the ice. We just haven't.
Well, I think the way I answer that is kind of the way Dave Tippett is a coach. I think Dave Tippett just worries about what his players need to do on the ice, and
sure.
I think General Manager Don Maloney doesn't necessarily worry about what other teams are doing, but what he feels his team needs to do to get to that next level. And I truly believe that. I think Martin Erat was a good pickup. I think he's a guy that, hopefully we'll come in here, provide some offense, and twofold, we'll get a guy like Radim Berbata going, who I believe has four goals in something like his last 25 games.
Yeah.
So if those two players get going, that's almost like a two for one. But there are teams, I think, that are reactionary in terms of seeing, okay, we got to make a deal because this team just went out and got X, Y, and Z. But I think the Coyotes are more of an organization that looks at the fit as opposed to what's going on around them. And in terms of trends, yeah, they haven't been all that consistent. But one guy that's really starting to get his game going is Mike Smith. I believe Mike Smith has allowed two or less goals in six of his last seven games, and that trend started prior to the Olympic break. So I think that's trending in the right way. But at the same time, I do think they'd like to try to acquire another depth defenseman and maybe a guy up front as well.
I'll let you go. I appreciate your time. Thanks very much, and hope to talk to you again.
Oh, anytime, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Sure. That's Matt McConnell, TV voice of the Coyotes. Matty, M-A-T-T-Y, Coyotes TV on Twitter. Good follow there. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So General Manager Tim Hovick and I last Thursday were sitting out at the Firebird Raceway, now known as Wild Horse Pass Raceway And Santan Ford has taken over a suite out there. They've redone it. We're just talking about business and how well things are going for Santan Ford. And Tim says to me, hey, did you see the billboards that we have with the Diamondbacks? So I'm driving around in the last few days. I see these Santan Ford billboards all over the place where he's ripping off, Tim is, his shirt. Underneath it is a Diamondbacks jersey. They are really a big part of the Diamondbacks. I see Santan Ford around the Arizona Cardinals. I see Santan Ford around Arizona State. Guys, if you're going to buy a car, you're going to buy a truck, and you're watching or listening to me, I would think then you're a big sports guy and you'd want to be with somebody who gives back within the community and sponsors all these teams. That's Tim Hovick. That is Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. I drive the 2014 Fusion this morning. Made it through about, I don't know, three wrecks on the 101 as usual. Unfortunately, I was able to make calls as I'm driving along with the command system and be up to speed as I go to meeting to meeting. After I'm done with the show today, it's off to more meetings. I go a lot of different places in doing my business. I mean, the vehicle that makes a lot of sense for me, the 2014 Ford Fusion. How about you? You in that right vehicle? Stop on in Santan Ford, Santan Ford, where it's all about you. NFL longtime observer and one of the most plugged in guys, and one of the more interesting guys in all the National Football League from a media side, Rick Goslin joins me next. Dallas Morning News longtime columnist. If you're a Cowboy fan, you know about Rick Goslin and what they did yesterday with Tony Romo. How big of a train wreck are the Cowboys now? How big of a train wreck are the Cowboys now with Romo and their foreseeable future? What's his favorite Jerry Jones moment? We'll talk with Rick Gosling, all things NFL, and much more. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Let's talk NFL football for a couple of minutes. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ. Of course, Arizona Central, AZ Central, they carry the show as well. White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Pleasure to have with us now the next voice you hear, one of the best in the business in the National Football League. I would say that Rick Goslin cares a great deal about the NFL. Not only does he write about the NFL and all things in Dallas for the Dallas Morning News, been a part of the Pro Football Hall of Fame committee for a number of years and follows all things Cowboys. We figured not just Cowboys, but NFL too. And his special teams book is kind of interesting as well. Here's Rick Gosling now. So the Tony Romo story, there's a bunch of people out here, Rick, that have not figured out that they live in Arizona. They're not in Dallas anymore. This is like a Dallas territory. Are all things heading in the right direction for the Cowboys with my tongue firmly in cheek? Or, come on, Brad, we got to figure it out down here. This is going to be the Cowboys' year.
No, this is a disaster waiting to happen. This is what happened in the late 1990s for both Dallas and San Francisco. They crashed and burned. They were trying to hold together a good team back then. They extended contracts, overpaid older players, and crashed. That's what's happening here, except this team is not a good team. This is an average team. They keep restructuring contracts, paying older players for mediocrity. It makes no sense at all. They entered the offseason $30 million over the cap. Next year, after the restructuring of Romo this year, there'll probably be another $30 million over the cap. They're just going year to year with an aging team. I mean, the best players are Romo, Witten, Ware. They're all in their 30s, and they still have to figure out what they're going to do with DeMarcus Ware and his contract.
So who gets fired here?
It won't be the owner. It won't be the general manager. That would be Jerry Jones himself. It won't be the director of personnel. That would be Stephen Jones, his son. I think in the end, it has to be Jason Garrett. But Jerry Jones does not want to go through another coaching search, because if he fires Garrett, he's going to have to make a credibility hire, which is what he did with Bill Parcells. He's going to have to hire a name that the fan base can get excited about. And to get a name, he'll have to cede some of his power, much like he did with Parcells. He couldn't wait to get Parcells out of the building after they started winning again, because he wanted to play GM again.
Jerry Jones, if you're sitting there having a beer with Jerry Jones, how do you find him to be?
Great, great guy. And I think he's a great owner. He's just the worst general manager in football. He's the most thick-skinned guy I've ever dealt with. You could write anything you want about Jerry Jones, and all that he asks is you spell the word Cowboys correctly. He's of the belief any publicity is good publicity. And at this point, with a mediocre football team, he wants us to keep writing about the Cowboys, because other than that, they'd be inconsequential.
Favorite Jerry Jones moment that you've had?
Well, I was in Orlando, borrowed him in 1994 when he decided he was going to fire Jimmy Johnson. Myself and Ed Warder with him were with him until 5 in the morning. This was at the NFL owners' meetings, and he had his fill of Jimmy. He made a toast at a table where Jimmy and a lot of his friends and former Cowboy employees were. The toast was not received well. Jerry stormed off. We ran into him in the lobby bar in Orlando at closing time, and we sat up till 5 in the morning. And he was talking about the Cowboys and Jimmy Johnson. And that's when he gave us the infamous quote, 500 people coaches team the Super Bowl.
Who's the coach?
Pretty good moment, huh?
No, that's good. That's good. Rick Gosselin with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. Dallas Morning News, all things NFL. Coming on board for the show, on the show for the first time today with Brad Sussmat here, Sports 360 AZ, Arizona Central, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. A year from now, who is the coach of the Cowboys?
Depends who's hot. I think if you would have fired Jason Garrett last year, I probably would have said Andy Reid. I think he's going to have to hire a name, and it depends who gets released at the end of this offseason. I do not see Bill Cowher ever coming back. I do not see Tony Dungy ever coming back. Frankly, I don't think John Gruden ever comes back. I think John Gruden has found his place in football on ESPN. It depends what names are in the marketplace next offseason. He's going to have to hire a name, though.
No matter who the coach is, how many years until this team is a championship-caliber team?
Jerry Jones remain the general manager?
That's
the question.
Yeah. And my point on this question, Rick, is it such a train wreck down there from your view that no matter who they bring in, that they're so screwed up in the cap, they've missed on player personnel, the age is going to set in at positions that have to be replaced, that this is still a 5-year rebuilding job?
Without question. We're still waiting for the crash and burn. Now, here's the incredible thing. Last year, they decided to extend Tony Romo. Here's a guy who was 33, had won one playoff game in his life. They give him a 6-year, $108 million contract that started in 2014. In the meantime, he undergoes 2 back surgeries. Now he's a 34-year-old quarterback coming off 2 back surgeries with 1 playoff win, and he's going to be one of the 2 or 3 highest-paid players in the NFL based on that contract. It makes no sense. If he could suffer a career-ending back injury now, and the salary cap hit would all but put this team out of business.
NFL draft is held today. Which quarterback goes first?
If I had to pick the best athlete on the board is Jadeveon Clowney. The best quarterback, I would probably say Blake Bortles. I think he better fits what Bill O'Brien wants to do at Houston. Johnny Manziel is intriguing, especially because he's from the area, but he's a small guy, and he got knocked around last year in the SEC, shoulder, knee, thumb injuries. If you get beaten up in college, you're going to get beaten up in the NFL. He's going to find in the NFL that the defensive ends and the linebackers are all bigger and faster than he was. That's what Vince Young found out. And Manziel is not going to be the same player in the NFL that he was in the SEC. So that said, I think Bortles at 6'5", 235 pounds, is a prototypical NFL quarterback and probably the best bet with that first pick.
So your understanding, if you said first pick is this, second pick is this, third pick is this, how's it go today?
Well, I think 3 quarterbacks are going to top 5, and I think there'll be at least one trade up. I think.
And St. Louis would be that trade up?
Or take Clowney. I mean, they can get the best player on the board, and this is a very good pass rush to begin with. You win in this league with quarterbacks and pass rush. They believe they've got the quarterback in place in Bradford. They got a lot of good young pass rushers, had a top 10 pass rush last year. You had Clowney, that's a potential of 60 sack pass rush. And I think the Rams are very close to being very competitive in the West. I'd be hard-pressed not to take Clowney. If you don't, you trade out, and hopefully somebody comes up with a quarterback. I think Teddy Bridgewater, Manziel, both be in that mix.
Rick Gosselin, Dallas Morning News, all things NFL with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. Appreciate his time, Sports 360 AZ. Rick very involved in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and he's got some exciting things he's working on that front. Also, around the National Football League, his special teams review is must-read within the NFL sources and coaches and that sort. We'll get to that in a minute. Player whose stock is falling. We're still 3 months away. It seems like an eternity, or 2 months away now until the draft. Whose stock is falling in the first round?
I think it's still early to tell. You want to get on campus and get the workouts. Don't put a whole lot of stock in the combine. all the guys that ran fast and lifted the weights, if you look at the history of the combine, those guys don't really make it big, the fast guys and the strong guys. It's the football players, the guys you see on tape. And I think when the teams get on campus at the workouts, they'll see more tape, they'll interview more players, I think you'll have a better feel. I never really did risers and fallers until late March, early April, when I was doing all the mocks. The most important thing about the combine is the interviews. It's not the workouts. It's the medicals. Any kind of injury the guy's had, any kind of surgery he's had, they've discussed. They've looked at the x-rays and such. But the interviews. Russell Wilson, a couple years back, he was probably a fifth-round draft pick on the board, but his interviews were so powerful. He was such a dynamic leader, so much charisma, so much poise. Just his interviews lifted his stock to the third round, and I think you'll see some of that.
Have you heard of any of that already as the combine is now behind us? Anybody who did very well at the combine off the field?
I tell you, a lot of people are really intrigued by Johnny Manziel. I stood next to him when he came off the podium. This is a small guy. He's under 6 foot, and those Little League shoulder pads he wore didn't help him. But whatever the it factor is, Johnny Manziel has it. I have my reservations about drafting because of the size. I think he's going to get hurt. I think he's got to go to the right situation. But the interviews, the swagger that he has, a lot of football people like that. And they think he's going to win at this level regardless of the measurables.
In your travels and in your sources, what's the view of the Arizona Cardinals right now?
Arrow pointing up. Really like the job that Bruce Arians done. You know, they've always been playing pretty good defense. Now they got some offense. You know, I think, you know, getting Larry Fitzgerald, the quarterback, will certainly help his Hall of Fame stock. I think they like what Arians done. They saw Arians have success in Pittsburgh. They saw him have success in Indianapolis. I thought that was one of the great coaching jobs 2 years ago when he took over for Pagano and led him to the playoffs. A lot of people really like Bruce, and I think Bruce is the ticket. They've got a quarterback in place. I think they've got to get a younger quarterback in place behind Carson. But the way they play defense in this league today, you have to play defense to win. And in that division especially, you have to play defense.
Rick, as you look at that division, so the Rams have all these picks that are now starting to come through on the RG3 trade. They say that Bradford's their guy. We'll see if he's able to stay healthy and really come through in a big way. The Cardinals are sitting there fighting with the 49ers and the Seahawks, and the Rams, I think, are coming pretty fast. Where do you see them in the NFC West?
Well, I see the NFC West the way I looked at the NFC East in the early 90s, where the Giants, Redskins, and Cowboys all won Super Bowls in back-to-back years. I think this is the best division in football right now. I think Seattle and San Francisco were the two best teams in football last year. I think if San Francisco had stayed healthy, I still think they're the best team in football. With Michael Crabtree missed most of the season, Alden Smith missed a big chunk of the middle. If those guys had been there, I think the Niners would have probably won it all. And I think the Rams have two of the top 13 picks in this draft. If you add a Clowney or you trade down and get possibly another first-round draft pick, I think the Rams are coming. I think the Cardinals are coming. I would not be surprised if both wildcard teams come out of West next year. I think especially they get the NFC East, which is really down. So those teams should go at least 3-1 in the division in the NFC East. I really like that division. I think two wildcard teams come out. I wouldn't be surprised if San Francisco wins it all.
Before I let you go, so there's a lot that you're involved in on a daily basis. Morning news columnist, you bounce around all things Dallas. You're plugged in the National Football League on a national level. You're in the Hall of Fame as well. But you also do something with special teams I think is pretty cool that fans may not know about that's must read. Tell me about that a little bit.
Yeah, back when I was covering the Kansas City Chiefs in 1980, I got to know Frank Gant. And that was back when only about a third of the teams had special teams coaches. And Gans was the best. He was a master at blocking kicks. And I'd sit there and he'd show me how he's going to, you know, scheme to block this particular kick this week with Albert Lewis. Well, he gained his formula for ranking special teams. He did it as an exercise to where the Chiefs were in relation to the rest of the league. There were 12 categories. For the last 30-some years, I've been using his formula and ranking the special teams, and I've added categories. I've added penalties. I've added turn takeaways and giveaways. I've added points scored, points allowed. And now it's kind of like the gold standard in the league. As soon as a team is eliminated from the playoffs or when their season's end, I get emails from the special teams coaches around the league saying, are the rankings done yet? And it's 22 categories. It ranks all 32 teams. It's a very comprehensive look at special teams, and it gives you a pretty good barometer. I've had owners call me, want copies of the rankings when they go hiring special teams coaches in the offseason. It's become the gold standard of the NFL for the kicking game.
Really cool stuff. Appreciate the visit, Rick. Thanks.
My pleasure, Brad. You take care.
Rick Goslin there, longtime Dallas Morning News NFL insider with me for a couple of minutes. So you're a Cowboy fan, huh? Pretty picture you got there down in Big D. Brad Sussmath with you, Sports360AZ.com. If you've not checked out Sports360AZ.com, we are Arizona-centric. We do things on the college level, the high school level, the pro level. Little different than what else is out there. It's no offense to anybody else. We just do things a little differently. A lot of video, a lot of social media. Of course, a daily show here. If you missed any part of today's show, you can check it out at Sports360AZ.com. Appreciate our partnership with AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, @BradSussmath.